Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is good to be back with you today, this Friday, April 11th. All week long, we've been talking about God's gifts and how His kingdom comes. And we are going today talk about youth ministry, particularly training youth in how they can serve in their congregation and how they can serve one another, how they can encourage one another. So we're going to talk about that with Lutheran Youth Fellowship and some of the training they recently received with some of our special guests today, Jessica Bordelot and Matt Rhodes. We'll talk about them and where they're from and what they're doing with Lutheran Youth Fellowship in just a little bit. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section there. You can click on the CUW logo there in the sponsor section, and that'll take you to their page. Find out about the programs they have to offer and where they're located. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo there. Well, joining me in studio today, we have Jessica Bordelot. She's the LCMS Young Adult Ministry Coordinator. Jessica, great to have you in studio today.
Thanks.
It's good to get to spend some time talking. We've been planning for this for a little while now to talk about what's going on with Lutheran Youth Fellowship and some of the training that you recently prepared and for them. And also joining us by phone this morning, we have Matt Rhodes. He is from Peace Lutheran Church in Brookings, South Dakota, and also the Upper Midwest Region Representative for Lutheran Youth Fellowship on the Executive Board. Good morning, Matt.
Morning. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, I have to say that was probably about the longest title that I've had to read in a while. So, and where are you today? You're not in South Dakota today, correct?
Correct. I'm currently in the University of Minnesota Twin Cities within the Minneapolis campus.
Very good. So it's pretty nice there today, too, like it is here in St. Louis. It's not quite as warm there, according to the national weather. It's only 50 there. We've got 64 and sunshine here.
Oh, it's still plenty warm here. I can feel my toes, so we're doing pretty good.
You can feel your toes. That's good. Well, recently, Lutheran Youth Fellowship had some training, and we're going to talk about that training and what that is. Before we even get to that, what is Lutheran Youth Fellowship? Jessica?
Well, Lutheran Youth Fellowship is a really unique ministry coming out of the youth ministry office because it equips teens to lead other teens. So our motto is teens leading teens because young people are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church right now, and God has role for them and work for them to do in the church right now. So we try to equip young adults to use their gifts in leadership and their communities and their congregations.
Good point. If you are baptized, you are the church.
Right now, not tomorrow.
You will be tomorrow as well, good Lord willing. But if you are baptized, if you are a child of God, you are the church.
Right.
There's no waiting around to become part of the church. You are part of the church. Matt, how did you get involved with Lutheran Youth Fellowship?
I actually heard about it through my pastor back in Brookings, South Dakota. I was interested from an early age, all throughout high school and still today, I'm interested in Christian apologetics. And my pastor had gotten an email from LYF talking about the training done in St. Louis, so he knew that my interests were in apologetics, which was that year's training, so he sent me the email and just went from there.
Very good. So you got involved as you found out more about it through your pastor.
Yep, exactly.
Now, Jessica, I got word of this training when I asked around about what's going on with youth ministry and our friends in the youth ministry office said, you should check out this training that Jessica has prepared. And they said it's quite interesting. It takes an intergenerational approach. Why an intergenerational approach? What is intergenerational ministry?
Well, in general, it would be ministry that works in between the generations, right? But specifically in the training that I wrote, it was how to, on an individual basis, to incorporate intergenerational relationships in your congregation. So I think youth group is important, and obviously you would want Sunday school age-appropriate for a second grader or a fifth grader, but there are also times where, as the community of believers, we can learn so much from each other for all the ages to come together and for there to be mentoring relationships between youth and young adults and older adults and kids, too. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's part of the whole community being together.
Matt, as a student and as a youth, when you were a young person in your congregation. Technically, according to us, you're still young, but I realize you're an adult now too, as well. But as a youth in your congregation, were there older people in your congregation outside of your own immediate family, outside of parents or immediate family? Were there other people in the congregation that that you had a meaningful friendship with in the congregation?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I can list off very many people. I mean, it is granted a bit smaller church than most, but at the same time, I built some relationships with the older generations that are, I mean, I'm proud to say that they're all my friends, regardless of age.
And what did you gain from those friendships, from those relationships in the church or in the congregation?
Probably the most I gained out of them was advice for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, obviously, a younger person like myself, I can't simply look in a book or, you know, simply know. Talking with these people, they've lived many more years than I have, and the fact that they're able to share and give advice has been truly, truly a blessing to me that I've been able to understand and talk with them.
So obviously Matt has certainly experienced those intergenerational relationships, Jessica. Why take an intergenerational approach to training these young people in LYF?
There's so many reasons that intergenerational relationships are valuable within a congregation. The National Study of Youth and Religion out of Notre Dame has been doing a really in-depth, long survey tracking the spiritual state of mm-hmm. young adults and of kids. And the number one most significant factor in teens staying committed in their faith as they become young adults has been relationships with older adults. Their parents are the number one factor, mm-hmm. and the number two were other people in their congregation that were adults.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two most important factors. So I think that's key. Relationships help people stay connected to their congregation and connected to Word and to the way that Christ shows himself through people's love and through the sacraments. And so intergenerational relationships are key.
Mm-hmm.
And those stats back that up. And my personal experiences have too, like Matt was saying. He's really involved. He is a leader, not only in his church, but in the Synod now because mm-hmm. of his involvement with Lutheran Youth Fellowship. And he just listed off all these ways that older adults were important and were mentoring him in his faith. And I think that's significant.
Absolutely. You know, there's a reason we have this threefold emphasis in our church body, you know, with witness, mercy, and life together. The witness, word and sacrament, as you were talking about earlier, that's where Christ comes to us and delivers his gifts to us in the divine service and gives us all these things that sustain us in faith. But the life together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we have that encouragement, that accountability, that connection with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, it keeps us connected with the congregation where the word and sacrament ministry is happening, so that we're staying, that we're attending regularly and receiving those gifts of God. And so it's important. It goes hand in hand. It's important to have that. And then, of course, mercy, the acts of mercy that God calls us to in our congregation, in our communities, and beyond to carry out what Christ has given us to do, to care for others. So the training, tell us a little bit about the training. How who comes to this training? How are they chosen? And what do they learn in there? I know that was kind of... That probably could take 2 hours right there, but tell us about the training. What is the Lutheran Youth Fellowship training, Jessica?
Mm-hmm. Well, every year there's a different initiative with a different leadership kind of a topic that's been written. And the author of that training trains the Lutheran Youth Fellowship Executive Board in that training. And then the Executive Board teaches that same training to a larger group of teens at the Council of Lutheran Youth Fellowship Representatives. We call it Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
Not Clifford, the big red dog, but Clifford. And it's actually the teens at Clifford then in turn elect the executive board from among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also they vote on what the topic should be for next year's training. So it's very youth-led, very... very teens leading teens, grassroots kind of thing. So Matt was elected by other people his age. at one of these, you know, at Clifford, right? So, and then this, you know, this year too, we just met in March. Mm-hmm. You know, there's five executive board members, and they taught a group of about 30, 40 teens. And then the goal is then that the teens at Clifford go back to their districts, to their churches, and they do that same training there. Mm-hmm. So really teens leading teens throughout the Synod nationwide.
Very good. And so, Matt, your involvement as an executive board member was to train the youth at Clifford, correct?
Correct, yes.
How'd that go?
It went very well. Very well. The kids this year were really great to work with, and they were, frankly, I was quite surprised as to how open they were to getting an understanding of how to have an intergenerational approach at Christian Living. I mean, seemingly there's that, you know, gap between the rebellious youth and the conservative parent, but that's not what I saw. And I myself learned quite a bit. So the fact that I learned and was able to with kids who are willing to learn, it was a wonderful experience.
Now, you say kids who are willing to learn. What's the age difference between you and the students you were training?
High school age. They're all high school age. And all of us exec board, well, okay, all except for one of us on the exec board are
two.
In college. Two?
Yeah, Adam and Katie, right?
No, Katie's in college.
Okay.
Katie, if you're listening, you can call and correct us. Or you can email. Katie, you can email us, family@kfuo.org. You can correct us, family@kfuo.org.
Do it, Katie. Do it.
Well, so what goes down at the training? What happens? Matt, can you take us through your experience, the beginning of the training? What happens?
Well, what happens is that we all gather everyone at the airport. We play a few icebreakers, get to know everyone, and then we go over to the Palatine Center where we, again, have a few more icebreakers where everybody's starting to get to know each other. And then after that, we begin our sessions training. And this past year was obviously written by Jessica. And we have various sessions over the intergenerational training. We also do these devotions throughout the few days where we group off various people and we ask them to pick a Bible verse and do something creative with it and how they're telling the story and the meaning and the message behind said Bible verse. So that was a lot of fun. And then also throughout the weeks we would break off into worship groups where on Saturday night we would have a worship service where each part of the service was done by a different group of kids, again, in a creative manner. And yeah, am I missing anything there, Jessica?
Those are some of my favorite parts of Clifford. It's so exciting to see youth being so involved in worship and in the leadership of the event. Yeah, it's pretty fun stuff. But I think you forgot to talk about the talent show.
Personal
that's favorite part of mine.
Yes, what we like to do is also have a talent show right before the worship ceremony and just have just a grand old time with everybody doing their funny skits or their musical talents or what have you.
There's a lot of serious training that goes on at this event, but a lot of fun, just so much fun.
I have to know, Matt, what talent did you bring to the show?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think Jessica can help me out there in that one. The exec board and Jessica, what we did was a surprise skit of, oh, goodness, I forget the song name. But it was basically jamming out to a music video. It was ridiculous.
Lip singing, dancing, it was crazy. Well, in the past, Matt, though, you've played your instrument, right?
Yes. Yep. I brought my saxophone along, and next year I should bring my banjo.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
It's never complete until there's a banjo.
I know, right?
Jessica, what was included in the training? What were important things that you thought needed to be brought up in the training for these young people to take back home with them?
Well, it was a five-part training. The first part kind of laid the biblical foundation of intergenerational relationships. So we talked about Eli and his relationship with Samuel and how they learned from each other. You know, you remember Samuel didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. He was a kid. So Eli was like, no, if God talks to you again, say, listen, you know, your servant's listening. And so he got to learn from him. And then one of my favorites, Mary and Elizabeth. You know, the young Elizabeth going to the young Mary going to Elizabeth and them sharing a miraculous pregnancy and the things that they learned from each other. So it kind of laid that foundation in the first session. Then the second session kind of brought it back to, you know, to current days and the generation gap and kind of explained that, why it's there, why it can be frustrating, and especially for young people to think through, you know, why their parents or grandparents may have a different worldview and the different impacts that world events have on, you know, as you're growing up and stuff. And then the third part talks about stumbling blocks. You know, you look at the verses in Romans and other places where things that you could do that would be a stumbling block to other people in their faith, and how generationally there's some stumbling blocks, and what can you do as a young person to remove those stumbling blocks and be able to be heard and be respectful and, you know, give up what you might need to and things like that. And then the last part was a practical tool on how to write a devotion and an actual how-to, so that hopefully young people then could lead a devotion at church. A lot of church groups begin with a devotion, you know, the Board of Elders meeting or LWML ladies. And if a youth could say, hey, I would love to be a part of this, could I lead your opening devotion, and take the initiative to do that, and it's a way for their congregation to see that they want to be a part of the leadership, they want to be part of the community. So if they can learn to write a devotion and stand up in front of their elders and do something like that, it's a good start. So those are all different parts of the training that we did together.
I want to go back to one of the things you mentioned as that was part of the training. That was discussing the generation gap, whether it be perceived or real. What is a generation gap?
Well, every generation has its defining characteristics based on world events, based on the world events that shaped their parents because their parents raised them. And so there's a different worldview that can come into play with different generations. And probably, you know, a recent really, you know, huge generation gap was in the 60s, you know, with there being this huge worldview difference between the young people and the older people, and the way that played out with Vietnam and the sexual revolution and all those things. So that was a big generation gap. Now the generation gap is more based on technology. You know, every like year there are new iPods and new technology, and my phone's already obsolete and I just got it. and so you throw that all in there, and that can make generations speak a different language and have trouble relating. So if we can build bridges across those kinds of things, we can really be the body of Christ together and support each other and not let those kinds of things be stumbling blocks.
You're right that every era, every generation has different, there are different events that happen, world events and local events that happen that shape that generation's view, worldview. And you're right, technology today certainly shapes our worldview and even just how we're wired in general. I mean, the fact that we use the phrase how we're wired, but how we think, how we interact with our surroundings, our environment is quite deeply shaped by how that begins. I was just thinking with our 7-month-old child, how he can pick up a like a tablet or a phone or something like that. He's drawn to it because it has a screen that lights up, and he's drawn to it more than he is to paper books and things like that, just because it has a screen. So just imagine how that shapes how he perceives everything around him. So it's so different than the generation before. Yes, as his parent, I understand what these things are, these glowing electronics, but also like books as well. And so there's a difference, I think, in how generations view everything around them.
Absolutely.
So making that connection, how do we get over those stumbling blocks? How do we bridge that gap between generations?
Well, that was what the fourth session in the training was about, and how to build bridges across those kinds of things. And there's all different kinds of approaches, and a lot of it is based on the person. When we make huge generalizations about different generations. I think it helps mm-hmm. because you need to understand where someone is coming from. You know, they lived through World War II. That's going to make a difference in how they view the world.
Sure.
You know, and those things are really important to keep in mind. But at some level, it all becomes personal. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one person in front of you, and how do you speak to that person? And how do you, you know, communicate with them?
Absolutely. And Matt, you were there for the training. How did, as you related this training to the students younger than you, what were the questions they had as you were helping them learn this?
Well, a lot of them were really good questions. I remember a few being like, how does a person's worldview change their heart for Christianity? Like, is there a fundamental difference in how we view Christ based on generations?
Hmm.
I mean, they're very, like, deep questions that, mm-hmm. frankly, I wasn't expecting or had even asked myself that. But, I mean, these types of questions, which I thought were very important, always popped up from the kids.
And so what were, did you as a group work through those questions? How did you go about answering those questions?
What we would do is that we would usually, within each subsection of the session, we would have kids at their table talk amongst themselves, and then the exec board and I, we would walk around and, you know, ask kids if they needed help or if they had questions, they would ask us, and then we would... Towards the end of it, we would all come together and talk about what we've discovered through the sessions. And if there were any unanswered questions that all of us needed help on, we would bring those then to the table to talk about.
Jessica, were there any questions? How did you go about answering the questions? Were there any questions that you just didn't know how to, you know, that really caught you surprised?
Well, at Clifford, at the event... The executive board does all the teaching, uh-huh. all the leading. So I just watched. You know, when I led this training with the executive board, you know, I was the leader, I was mm-hmm. the teacher. But at Clifford, they are in charge. It's teens leading teens. They did it all, but I got to watch. They did a great job. It was so encouraging to see these mm-hmm. young people so engaged and excited and really eager to build relationships with older adults.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear any questions come up that just you were surprised by?
Well, everybody has different learning styles.
Sure.
And when I wrote the training, I tried to incorporate those different learning styles. So sometimes the groups would be involved in small group discussion, mm-hmm. sometimes large group discussion, and other times, like, they were reading material that they were supposed to go off and read by themselves first, mm-hmm. answer questions on their own, and then come back together and share so they had some time to process it. And so that was interesting because I saw different questions come up when they were thinking by themselves than when they were in a small group. But overall, they were just so eager. You know, a lot of older adults think that young adults or youth don't want to interact with them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're coming from a background of during the, you know, the sexual revolution where they didn't trust older people. There's mm-hmm. this big gap. But millennials today, they are very non-judgmental. Age is not such a big deal with them, and they want mentors. These high school students wanted to learn how to engage baby boomers and have conversations with them. So I think that's so exciting for future leadership of our church. And yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, very good. Well, today we are talking with our friends from Lutheran Youth Fellowship. We're talking with Jessica Bordelot, the Young Adult Ministry Coordinator, and Matt Rhodes, who is the from Peace Lutheran Church in Brookings, South Dakota, and Upper Midwest Region Representative for the Lutheran Youth Fellowship Executive Board. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversation about the recent training that they did with the youth here in St. Louis. So stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis. And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Recently, I told you about alarming statistics in Mississippi showing the abortion industry is blatantly practicing eugenics and going after minorities. Now the stats for Georgia are out. Whites outnumber blacks 2-1. Even so, black babies are aborted at a rate of 2.5 times more than white babies. Nearly 80% of all abortions in Georgia kill minority babies. The communist dictator Joseph Stalin said, "The death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic." You must help me wake up our nation to this eugenics movement. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to see a visual, interactive website showing how Planned Parenthood targets minority neighborhoods.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
God said, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." A beautiful assurance for you and me from the one who gave you the God-man of Calvary. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me for scripture, music, trivia, stories on the lighter side, encouragement from God's side. That's Moments of Assurance weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Mid-American Coaches.
During the season of Lent, many Christians spend extra time reading special devotions that focus our hearts and minds on the Savior. But for many Christians around the world, these kinds of devotions don't exist because no one has ever translated them into their languages. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation is working to change the situation by translating and publishing children's Bible story books, the catechism, hymnals, and devotion books into the languages of the world. To learn about this mission, visit lhfmissions.org.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County, where Reverend Dennis Kasten serves as senior pastor. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri, where Pastor Tim Ostermeyer leads divine worship. Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Secretary of the Air Force Deborah Lee James says its restrictions on religious expression will be reviewed following the removal of a Bible verse from a cadet's message board at the Air Force Academy. At a Senate hearing Thursday, Utah Republican Mike Lee said,
"Almost any expression of religious beliefs, at least by someone in a leadership position, as innocuous as someone saying, 'I like this scripture from the book of Galatians,' which is all this cadet had done. That could somehow run afoul of this policy."
James said Lee's concerns will be addressed this month.
All of the chaplains from the major commands, as well as general counsel, as well as the manpower and reserve affairs, and we're all going to go off-site, and we're going to talk about this policy, and we're going to put it up against the recent laws that have been passed.
Federal law says the armed forces shall accommodate individual expressions of belief unless doing so would harm readiness, unit cohesion, and good order and discipline. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with our friends from Lutheran Youth Fellowship about the recent training for youth in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we're talking with Jessica Bordelow. She's the LCMS Young Adult Ministry Coordinator, and also Matt Rhodes, who is from Peace Lutheran Church in Brookings, South Dakota, and the Upper Midwest Region Representative for the LYF Executive Board. Before we went to break, we were talking about the experience of the training and some of the aspects of it. Matt, what do you think is the most useful thing that youth left with from that training?
I think the most useful thing that they left with was understanding that regardless of what generation you are in, that we're all still human, and that we all still have the same faults. We still all have the same insecurities, and we all still need the same salvation from God. And once that is understood and established, it's so easy to make friends and witness and live together with the various generations there of a person's church.
Jessica, what are, for those who didn't attend the training this year, what are some things that our listeners can, 3 to 5 things that they can do that would help them bridge that intergenerational gap in their congregations?
Yeah, I think congregations who intentionally encourage and equip others to reach out to other generations, children, teens, young adults, older adults, there's just so much that we can learn and give to each other. And so even if they incorporate new activities into like pre-existing ministries, you don't need to start a whole new intergenerational ministry, but to incorporate activities and bring them together. I mean, there's some, I mean, already in congregations, worship is intergenerational. We're all together for that. But other ways where we can fellowship more, I would never want to get rid of youth ministry or ministry groups, you know, like the youth group and Sunday school, like I said before, but to incorporate some things. So some examples like, oh, the Board of Elders could go with the youth group to go bowling. You know, they're already going bowling, so the Board of Elders, hey, let's just go with them, you know?
Uh-huh.
Or having the junior high kids help in the nursery, hang out with the little kids and spend time, you know, being cool big kids that little kids want to emulate, you know, in their faith too. The older women at church could organize a meal for the Mother of Preschoolers group. You know, just already existing groups could find ways to interact with each other.
So by interacting with, bridging this gap and interacting the younger members of the congregation, interacting with older members of the congregation, the younger people have mentors in a sense. They have examples of mature members of the congregation, something to aspire to, something to grow into rather than something to grow out of.
Yeah, and that's so biblical. You look at Titus 2 and 1 Timothy 5, where they talk about older women teaching younger women and how to interact with other generations as if they were family members. And the mentoring goes both ways. You know, we have a lot to learn from our elders, and older adults find a lot of encouragement too from working with younger generations. But if everybody waits for the other generation to take the first step, then nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we, you know, encourage each other, I'll take the first step. I'll take the initiative. And I think that was why this training could be really useful in your congregation, because let's just equip the high schoolers too. So if they start taking the initiative in the first steps and older generations start doing the same thing, you know, we can meet in the middle somewhere, and everybody's taking the first step to be a friend. It's scary to be the one trying to make a friend. You know, you could be rejected, you could be embarrassed. But I think we'll find that more positive reception than what we think.
How did you help them overcome that fear? Matt, as one who was training them, did you find that some of the students were afraid of taking that first step or maybe interacting with someone older than them?
Yeah, I did see that in a few cases. And what I would personally do is I would just, you know, I wouldn't even talk about the sessions, which, you know, kind of negated from the actual point. But in order to actually talk to them, that's what I did. I just talked to them on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them their name and just what they want to do in life and what issues they're facing with the session or with whatever issues they have simply.
Sure.
So just creating a personal level of almost equality with them really, really helps people and really helps the younger kids that I was talking with.
Hey, Matt, tell them about the intergenerational event we did at Clifford. With apples to apples, that was really fun.
Right, yeah. Well, what we did is that we had a series of games ready to play in our event center. And what Jessica did was that she emailed a bunch of her friends, of whom were of the older generation. And they came over and we all had just the funnest time playing a variety of games like apples to apples or, you know, various card games or the Great Del Moody.
That got very competitive.
Oh, very competitive.
What became competitive? Which game?
It's called The Great Del Moody. It's kind of a card game that involves a hierarchy, which was really interesting playing with various generations. So
it was fun to see people in their 60s and 70s playing with these teenagers, and they're all just being competitive and smiling and laughing and trying to win. And it was really fun to see.
Yeah, it was It was great.
After the training, it's been a while. The training was in January, so we've had a little bit of time. What kind of response have you heard? I'm sure being this generation, being technologically advanced and socially connected in Facebook and Twitter and all these other places, Matt, what kind of responses have you heard from the youth that were at that training?
Nothing but positive. I've seen all over the Facebook and the Twitter feeds of people just building and maintaining really solid relationships with various other kids from across the country, as well as I've heard from the South Dakota and North Dakota district that they already have plans to implement Jessica's training. South Dakota's in May, I believe North Dakota's in April. And, I mean, it's just, it catches on like wildfire. People are responding very, very positively to this.
Jessica, any responses you've heard back from those who were at the training, whether it be from the executive board or from the youth or from congregations or districts?
Yeah, well, the executive board training was in January, but Clifford was actually just in March.
Oh, okay, so not too long ago.
Just a couple weeks ago, and we made a Facebook group so that the youth that came can stay connected mm-hmm. to each other. And it's been really neat to see them post, oh, I led this training at church this time, or I did it, you know, for my district at this event. And so that's been really cool to see. And it's my prayer that they're really taking this at a personal level back to their congregation, you know, and they're really making those relationships happen. In that study that I was telling you about what a great influence older adults mm-hmm. have with teenagers, statistically, just knowing the names of high schoolers at your church and saying hi to them on Sunday, just that increases the likelihood that they will remain committed in their faith. And that is such an easy thing to do. Hi, my name is, what's your name? You know, and you see them in church and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. How's it going? Just that little bit can make such a big difference because people see that they care. Mm-hmm. And it's a community then, and not just a place that you go to, but a family that you're a part of.
And what happens then when you start saying, hi, I'm so-and-so, and what's your name, and what school do you go to, or what? It leads to other conversations. You end up finding out that you have something in common.
Yeah.
And it leads to further conversations, and it can be a really good thing, certainly, and help you build those relationships. That doesn't mean that you have to know every youth, every teen in your congregation personally, but that gives you a chance to build a relationship with a couple of them, a few of them, and that alone can make a huge difference in them staying connected with that congregation, with the body of Christ, and coming in and receiving God's gifts in word and sacrament regularly as well. Absolutely. So now that this training for this year is done in terms of training, the Clifford training, how often does this happen? How often does the executive board train, and how often does Clifford happen?
Yearly,
okay. Yearly.
So at Clifford, the youth vote what the topic should be mm-hmm. for the next training. And then the youth ministry office finds someone who's an expert in that area to write the training. And then in January, then they teach it to the executive board. So it's every year. There's new trainings every year. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make use of old ones, they're all on the website. So if you would go to LCMS's youth ministry page, mm-hmm. You can see all the past trainings that are available too. There's teens leading teens, teens reaching teens, an apologetic one called Teens Answering Teens, and they're all available for your congregation mm-hmm. to use if you'd contact them. So even if you weren't at Clifford or you weren't able to, your congregation or district couldn't send a youth to Clifford, you can still make use of these trainings.
Sure, and you can, to contact the youth ministry office, you can call them at 1-888-843-5267, and they can give you more information on the teen leadership training resources. If you want to read more about those, you can go to lcms.org/Lutheran Youth Fellowship, and you can find a list of all those resources, and again, the phone number there on the website as well, 888-843-5267, to get you connected to those resources. Good stuff. So the executive board that you serve on, Matt, how long of a term is that?
It's a 3-year term.
Okay, so you were elected in 2013, is that correct?
Correct, yep.
So you'll be on that board, so you'll go through this training again next January, correct?
Yes, I will, provided I don't get
Snowed in.
Stuck in Siberia.
Oh, I hope not. We missed you so much last January.
Yeah, I missed you guys too.
And then, and so then you'll be a part of the team, the executive board that trains the teens at next year's Clifford event. And then, in 2016, then I gather that the youth will vote and nominate a new executive board. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yes. Yep.
Very good. And so this Council of Lutheran Youth Fellowship representatives, who makes up this council, this the group of youth that come to this, Matt?
Generally, what we like to have is two youth from each district across the United States. And, mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes there's more kids from a certain district, sometimes there's less, which is okay. But, I mean, that's generally what we set out to do, is have two from each district.
And so we have 35 districts across the LCMS, so potentially we could have 70-plus youth at this.
Potentially even more. Mm-hmm. Just in the last couple of years, Terry Dittmer opened it up to any congregational youth who wanted to attend.
Wow.
So not only can a district send somebody, but a congregation could send somebody as well. So it's really opened the doors of availability.
Well, very good. And so they come to this training, annual leadership development training for these youth, and then they take what they learn back to their districts or their congregations to share what they've learned here. And as you were demonstrating, or as you were explaining earlier, Jessica, that they can go back and present this to their congregation, to their districts, to, in this case, we were talking about an intergenerational approach to their Christian life. But all these other topics, the apologetics topics as well, to go back and present that to the congregation, to show that we, as youth, are interested in being a part of the life of the congregation as well. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? How can someone get involved if they want to find out more about the Council of Lutheran Youth Fellowship? Matt?
Well, what you can do is, you can visit the LCMS website, and there's a direct link there. You can look up the various Facebook pages. I know that there's tons out there relating back to it. And just ask your pastor, because I know that we send out the emails. So ask your pastor about it, and I have no doubt that there'll be an email waiting for you there.
Yeah. If you're a church worker listening and you want to find out more, encourage your district president to send somebody, to have them be able to send a youth to Clifford. A lot of it can be at a district level, which is really helpful, because then the youth is connected. The youth that you send would be connected to the district, so that at district gatherings they could lead this with other youth, but also individual congregations too.
Very good. So you can check it out, lcms.org/Lutheran Youth Fellowship. Check with your pastor, check with your district. You can find out more about LYF and get involved. And Matt, what has your experience been so far since you've been involved with LYF?
Nothing short of life-changing. It's been an absolute blessing. I mean, it shaped what I want to major in. It's actually shaped in what college I want to attend next year. And it's just shaped really how I see and live through Christ. It's been truly remarkable. And each person that I've spoken to about that have said the same thing.
Very good. And I have to ask, Matt, what are your plans after college? What are you hoping, what are you looking forward to after college?
I want to work in bioethics.
Wow.
And hopefully for a few years work in clinical research studies in a hospital that'll take me on for a job, and work in the ethics department of that.
Wow, very good. Well, we certainly have appreciated your time this morning, Matt, to talk with us about Lutheran Youth Fellowship. We appreciate you sharing your story with us and also being a part of that executive board and training some teens. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you very much, too. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Bye, Matt.
Bye.
Now, we're going to turn the tables a little bit. Jessica, we mentioned that while you're involved with LYF, you're also the Young Adult Ministry Coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What does that entail? What is Young Adult Ministry?
Yeah, I've been really blessed that the LCMS Youth Ministry Office has contracted me to coordinate Young Adult Ministry for them. So youth would be high school aged. Mm-hmm. And young adults are post-high school age, millennials, through their 20s, early 30s. And so we're able to offer a website of resources written by young adults for young adults to encourage them in their faith. There's devotions and Bible studies, some blogs written by young adults sharing what it's like to be a Christian in a non-Christian world, book reviews, media reviews, and then information about the servant events that we do each year.
And we've talked about servant events on here before, which are just really neat opportunities throughout the year, most of them during the summer, but really neat opportunities. So tell us more about these various things that you were just talking about. The website has a bunch of resources.
Mm-hmm. LCMSYAM.org. YAM stands for Young Adult Ministry.
Oh, it's not about like sweet potatoes.
No,
or
sweet
anything.
Potatoes. I like them, but not for a website. LCMSYAM.org. If you go there, you can check out all those kinds of resources. And it's really a new, unique ministry, I think, in that it is so volunteer-based. You know, I get to coordinate these volunteers. They write because they're motivated to do that. The servant event leaders do that out of their volunteer time. Young adults and college students don't have a lot of money to offer, but they have a lot of time and energy, and they're willing to do that, mm-hmm. putting the sweat equity into it, even though they might not have the dollars at this point. And what a blessing, and how exciting. There's two servant events this summer. One is in California, in an awesome DCE out there, Brandon Heath, who's also involved in LYF. He's coordinating that one, and I get to coordinate the one here in St. Louis. Well, we'll be working with immigrant kids at the Peace Center for New Americans. And so young adults will be mentoring these immigrant kids, and we'll also be working on repairing and painting the Peace Center for New Americans and getting that to be in the best shape that it can be to serve the community. And we need more volunteers. We need more young adults to volunteer for this event. And you can volunteer at the website. You can register online. And not only do you get to serve, but this weekend event also equips young adults because we'll have Bible studies, leadership training, worship opportunities. So I'm so excited about this event, and I want us to have enough volunteers to be able to serve the kids and to have a community. So please go online. If you know someone who's a young adult, tell them about it. Please go to the website and put a write-up in your church bulletin so that young adults know this event is available for them.
What is the Peace Center? What the place where the summer event will be happening that you'll be helping?
It's part of an RSO, a recognized service organization of the LCMS, called Christian Friends of New Americans. Mm-hmm. St. Louis is an immigration hub, and so we have a lot of immigrant families and children who are here who don't have the resources that they need. You know, they're in a new country, and they need to start from scratch. So the Peace Center offers them free English as a second language lessons, you know, free ESL, after-school tutoring for the kids. So we've got volunteers that would go there and help the kids with their schoolwork. There's free medical screening, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Even help, you know, I know the four congregations in that area that support that have food banks, mm-hmm. and other things available. You know, one of the most exciting aspects of the CERN event, because we've been working with the Peace Center for the last 2 years. The first time we did that, one of the young adults came. He had never volunteered there before, but was so moved and so motivated by that volunteer work that since that time, he comes every week. He drives down to the Peace Center and works with the kids there as a result of coming to the servant event. It's so exciting to see God work that way. And through young adults, these young adults are making an impact right now in the life stage they're in. They don't need to wait until they're older. They don't need to wait until they've got life all put together. God has a role for them to fulfill in the church right now and in their community right now.
And what was the other event that you mentioned that is that's in California, correct?
Yeah,
in
San Diego. They're also working with immigrant kids, and I know last year they also worked with the homeless population there. But if you go to the website, you can find out information about both of the events. And I've heard really good things about that event in California too. And like I said, their leader is an awesome, godly DCE.
Very good. So you can check it out, LCMSYAM. It's not about sweet potatoes. It's LCMSYAM.
But if that helps you remember the website address, think about sweet potatoes.
It's going to help me, LCMSYAM, YAM, Young Adult Ministry. Certainly go check it out, and you can find out more about those servant events, the one in St. Louis and the one in San Diego coming up this summer. May 29th through June 1st is the St. Louis event, correct?
The weekend after Memorial Day weekend.
And then the event in San Diego, July 24th through the 27th. You can find out how to register. You can find out all the details about the events through the lcmsyam.org website and find out more. Other things with Young Adult Ministry, anything else? We've got sermon events and the website. Other things in terms of Young Adult Ministry, Jessica?
Well, I know that there are some new college ministry things that the Youth Ministry Office is doing. I'm not an expert in that area as much. You could talk to the folks that are working on that, but that's pretty exciting too. But the website has so many resources that have been done by young adults. And we're always looking for new authors, more people to write devotions, Bible studies, just to write about their Christian walk, to do media reviews for us. So I would love to find more young adults who are willing to write, to have their voice heard, and to encourage their peers who feel spiritually isolated. Mm-hmm. You know, I get emails from the website, and there's two topics. One, I'm a young adult, I'm in a new town because I got a new job, mm-hmm. or I'm in college, and I can't find any other young adults who are Christians, and I feel so isolated in my faith. And, you know, can you help me find a group of young adults? Can you help me find, you know, a church that would have other young adults for me to be able to have Bible study with? So, which is heartbreaking, you know, that they're looking for it, they want it, but they don't know where to find it. Mm-hmm. And then also I get a lot of requests for, do you have any young adult Bible studies? Our church is doing young adult ministry. I'm trying to lead this small group because Pastor asked me to start this, and I don't know where to look for Bible studies. So those are the two kinds of requests we get. So if you're out there and you like to write Bible studies, you know, let me know. If you like to write devotions or you want to find ways to encourage your peers, if you go to the website and you click Contact Us, that email goes right to me. So go to the website, click Contact Us, tell me you want to write.
You have podcasts, blog topics, videos, some about the servant events mm-hmm. as well. And mm-hmm. also you can connect through Facebook as well. All right there on lcmsyam.org. Well, very good. Anything else that we've talked about? The intergenerational training for LYF. We've talked about young adult ministry. What do we look forward to in the year to come? We've got servant events coming up this year. Any other plans for the coming year in terms of young adult ministry or LYF?
Well, every year, you know, the LYF training is a different topic. And so this year, the kids voted that the upcoming topic would be spiritual preparation for young adults and how to face a world that is not Christian. Hmm. I guess, what is the stats? It's 80% of young adults mm-hmm. are not committed to any kind of a faith. 10% are hostile to religion, mm-hmm. and then only 10% are committed to any kind of a religion, not just Christianity. And so that really puts young adults in a position where they are, they're in the minority. And so these high schoolers then voted to have a training that will mm-hmm. equip them to face being a young adult in that kind of a world and how to equip them to do that. So that's exciting. Can't wait to see how that ends up. And then with the young adult website, then we're growing on Twitter and on Facebook. It would be great if you out there, you know, go to the Facebook page, like us or follow us on Twitter. That way you can be connected in what we're doing. You can hear what's coming up in this next year and be a part of supporting that ministry. If you're not able to come to the servant events, but you still want to support them, we've just started a crowdfunding campaign to help sponsor those servant events. The one in St. Louis, for example, we're working through. If you go to the website, you can see the crowdfunding campaign, because a lot of young adults can't afford to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a weekend-long event, we have meals involved. We mm-hmm. have housing, which is just sleeping on couches at a church, but still there's a cost involved with that. And then the cost of the supplies for the immigrant kids and stuff like that. So if you can't come to the event, but you want to support it, please go see our crowdfunding campaign. You can find all of that at lcmsyam.org.
Very good. Well, today we have been talking with Jessica Bordelot. She is the LCMS Young Adult Ministry Coordinator. Jessica, thanks so much for being our guest in studio today for Faith and Family.
Glad to be here.
Coming up in a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance with Mark Hawkinson. I hope you can stick around for that. Great conversation and great music, all a part of the lineup here on Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for more right after this break.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program.
Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.